My dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious sisters and brothers in Christ. Well, first of all, I bring you greetings from Pope Francis. I was in Rome this week and had a meeting with the Pope on Wednesday as we're preparing for the World Meeting of Families here in 2015, about a year and a half from now. And it is our hope that the Holy Father will come to Philadelphia for that meeting. Although he didn't make any public announcement that he's coming, he won't do that for another 6 months or more. I'm sure he's going to come and be with us. And one of the things that's very important for us to remember about that gathering, it's the World Meeting of Families, and not just the Pennsylvania Meeting of Families or the Philadelphia Meeting of Families or the United States Meeting of Families, but it's going to be a gathering of people from around the world. I imagine most people who come will be from North America and South America, since you can drive here from those places. But we hope there'll be many people here from Africa and Asia and Europe and just all Oceania and just all parts of the world. But as I was watching you process in before Mass began this morning, I said to myself, we wouldn't have to go very far for a meeting in Philadelphia to be a World Meeting of Families. Because already, in the faces and cultures of all who are present here, we celebrate that reality of our church. Not only is the church in the world international in its composition, but even our local church here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia is international in so many, many ways. And I can see the face of Jesus in each one of the faces of yours. And in each of your faces, the face of Jesus is slightly different, but that richness makes Jesus even more beautiful. So thank you very much for being here today to celebrate this cultural diversity we experience in our own archdiocese. Now I have a question for you from the beginning of my remarks, and the question is this. Who do you love more, your culture or Jesus? That's a good answer. And not only is it the right answer, but you said it right away, which means you didn't have to think about it. But I think if we're honest about ourselves, one of the things that happens to each one of us as we grow older in the faith is that sometimes our Christian faith, which is our relationship with Jesus, becomes simply a cultural characteristic rather than something that flows from the depths of our hearts. For example, I'm sure that those of you whose families fled Vietnam in order to make a new life in this country fled the country that you love very much because of a lack of religious freedom. And so everyone who was a Catholic who came from Vietnam to live here was still maintained that they are a Catholic. But if you look at the next generation, and probably even your own generation as you lived here longer, I think you can see that as time goes on, there's a diminishment of our commitment and of our faith. And that's not true only of the Vietnamese, it's true of the Koreans, the Africans, the Europeans, those who've lived here all their lives. All of us tend, because of the wearing down of time, to be less committed than we were before. And because of that, the church gives us every year what? The season of Lent, in order to make sure that our commitment is genuine and personal. That's all that Lent's about. It's a time for us to prepare to renew our baptismal promises at Easter and to really mean it when we answer those questions at the Easter Vigil or on Easter Sunday. The tendency, of course, is that we'll say those words, but not really mean it in the sense that it transforms and changes our day-to-day life. Now, this isn't only a problem of Christians. It was also a problem of the Jewish people at the time of Hosea the prophet in our first reading. I just want to mention a few of these words once again. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Let us know, let us strive to know the Lord. Your piety, O Israel, is like a morning cloud, like the dew that early passes. For it is love I desire, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Some of you come from countries that have deserts. And sometimes in the early morning in desert countries, there are a few clouds in the sky, but quickly, when the sun comes up and the heat comes down, those clouds disappear. And if there was ever any dew on the ground or on the plants, it dries up before 7 o'clock in the morning. And God was saying to the Jewish people, your piety is like that. It's there, but it quickly disappears and suddenly dries up. And then God pleads with them, and God is pleading with you and me today when he says these words. It's love that I desire, not sacrifice. Knowledge of me rather than burnt offerings. You know, day after day, the Jewish people burnt offerings in the temple, every day, throughout the day. And God is saying to them, I don't want that. What I want is your heart. And I want you to know me rather than to offer sacrifices in the temple. Now, of course, it's better to offer sacrifices while loving and knowing the Lord. But if God had to choose, what God wants is your heart and my heart. So I ask you, you know, today we're giving the Lord our cultures. We're thanking the Lord that we've come from families and backgrounds that are wonderful and rich and in which we rejoice. But God doesn't simply want your culture. He wants your culture. He wants the best of your culture. But what God really wants is your heart and that you know him. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells a story about a tax collector and a Pharisee. Now, if Jesus were telling us that story today in categories that we know, he probably wouldn't talk about Pharisees because most of us don't know that religious group in Israel. And he wouldn't talk to us about tax collectors even. We don't like tax collectors, but they aren't nearly as bad today as they were in Jesus' time. In Jesus' time, they cheated people in order to pay the tax to the Roman occupiers. If I were rewriting this today, I would use the example of a priest or a nun or a sister and compare that person with a drug dealer. So Jesus would say this story. Listen, are there any sisters here? Can I use you as an example, sisters? He wants me to use a deacon. Okay, I'll use a deacon. Okay, this one here in particular. Okay, so a deacon and a drug dealer came to the cathedral one Saturday morning. The deacon, dressed in his beautiful robes, came to the front of the church and stood there before God, and he said, "Oh God, I thank you. I'm not like the rest of the people in this town. Greedy people, dishonest people, people who can commit adultery. And I'm certainly glad I'm not like that drug dealer in the back of the church. You know what I'm like. I give up food twice a week, thinking of the poor and also my figure. I pay taxes to the church. I give to the collection every Sunday. And I don't just do 10%, I do 40%. So I'm really a good person. And you're really privileged to have me standing here before you. The tax collector, the drug dealer, is sitting with his head bowed in the last pew in the church. And he really knows that he's been living a life contrary to what God expects of him. And so he says in his heart, as he beat his breast and wouldn't raise his eyes to heaven, "Oh God, please be merciful to me, because I'm really a sinner." And Jesus would say to you and to me, "I tell you, that drug dealer went home justified," which means pleasing to God, "not the deacon. For whoever exalts himself will be brought down, and the one who humbles himself will be raised up." Now, the meaning of this story. Jesus doesn't mean it's better to be a drug dealer than a deacon, right? And he doesn't tell us that it's good if we sin so we feel bad and repent, right? What Jesus is telling us here is that he wants us to understand who we really are. And there's no one in this room, from the newest Christian to the Archbishop, who can stand in the presence of God and say, "Oh God, you're lucky that you have me as your friend." You know? All of us here are equally sinners. And what pleased Jesus, and why he told this story, is that the tax collector or the drug dealer in the story that I told honestly knew who he was in relationship with God. Now, some of you know that I'm a Native American on my mother's side. My mother was an American Indian, a Potawatomi Indian. And because of that, I've often in my life studied Native American religious traditions. And one of the most beautiful traditions among Native people in this country are the traditions of the Navajos, who live in Arizona and New Mexico. And they have a religious ceremony called the Blessing Way. And people who are depressed or upset or have had bad things happen in their life go to the medicine man, the shaman, and ask for this ceremony. And the whole purpose of that ceremony is to pray in such a way that the person who's suffering or who's a sinner comes to know who he or she really is. Because the Navajo people are convinced that the source of all the problems in the world is the exaggeration of oneself. To exaggerate your importance in your relationship with God and your importance in relationship with your brothers and sisters. We Christians have a word for that, and that word is humility. Humility isn't pretending to be lowly. It's to speak the truth in your heart about yourself, to know that you come from the dirt of the earth. The word humus is a Latin word from which we get the word humility, and it means dirt. You know, God made us from what? From the dirt of the earth. And he breathed life into us and made us living men and women. And so the source of our goodness comes from God and not from ourselves. And all sin is a result of exaggerating ourselves. Just look at it in your families, in your problems with your husbands, your problem with your wives. It's because you exaggerate yourself. In your problem with your parents, it's because you exaggerate yourself. If you don't go to church on Sunday, you're not in right relationship with God. You're acting like God rather than God's creatures. You know, every one of our sins is a result of emphasizing, exaggerating Me, 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 me. And the change of heart that God wants from us is to turn that me into you, you, you. First of all, you who are God. And then, because of that, you who are also daughters and sons of God, and because of that, my sisters and my brothers. Now, if we can have this conversion or change, God will be very pleased with us. We need to listen to the words of the prophet Amos during these final weeks of Lent. Let us know, let us strive to know the Lord. The word strive means put some effort into it. And if we do that, when Easter comes, we will be ready to recommit ourselves to God in our baptismal promises. God is very pleased that you're here this morning. He's pleased with the beauty of your dress, more importantly, the beauty of your lives. But what he wants us to do is to give him our hearts. May the Lord bring to completion the grace he begins in our lives today.